Good morning. This is a re-recording of the first Dharma talk, the first full day of our 2018 Women in Zen retreat. The first time round, the recording didn't record properly, so this one may sound a little unspontaneous, but it's for those who were there who would like to review, or those who weren't able to come who would like to follow along and with us through the several days that we spent together. When I was contemplating what to make the theme for this year's retreat, the topic of healing arose. Healing in the context of our body and mind, our lives arising from this earth. Maybe it's because I know so many women who have been dealing with healing from illness or trauma, or supporting others who are healing. I also wanted to explore how healing of our bodies and minds is related to healing of the earth. It feels like society in general is suffering from a loss of connection to the earth and to living systems. And when those connections are damaged or broken or compromised, our well-being is jeopardized. So in healing those connections with the earth, with other beings, living systems, we nourish our own well-being. We all have wounds of body, mind, and spirit because that is our human condition. The result of having a body that is subject to illness, accident, aging, birth, and death. And a mind and spirit that is subject to the suffering resulting from human greed, hatred, and ignorance, which are called the three poisons in Buddhist teachings. They are toxic to body and mind. Because the way of living taught by the Buddha leads to freedom from that suffering, one name for the Buddha is the Great Physician. And we could think of our practice as a detox program. We are detoxing countless generations of karmic conditioning, the residue of our family and cultural upbringing and our heritage as human beings. To heal means quite simply to make whole, to mind and mend the splits, tears, divisions, wounds in our body, heart, psyche, family, relationships, community, our country, environment, our world. We're not going to be doing specific healing practices like Reiki or massage, and we're not going to talk about strategies for healing the great harm we humans have done to the earth and other species. What we will do over these few days is to explore awareness of body and mind and how we are embedded in the natural world. We are of it, and it flows into and through us. Nurturing this connection through direct experience is itself a healing practice. I'll be drawing particularly on teachings from Dogen Zenji, who lived in the 13th century Japan. He must have had a deep feeling for the natural environment to have written so beautifully and profoundly about it. I'll also draw particularly on the work of Andrea Olson, a professor of dance in the Environmental Studies program of Middlebury College in Vermont. She's the author of this wonderful book, Body and Earth, an Experiential Guide. And I also want to share with you some of my favorite poems and prayers about the body, the earth, and healing. These poems alone could be my Dharma talks, and I wouldn't have to say anything else. I'll start with the first poem I encountered on my own, not in a classroom, that touched me deeply and directly. It's by Wendell Berry, and it's called The Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. I found this poem early in high school, and I wrote my own version of it. Maybe you could write your own. The natural world was my refuge growing up, and my teacher. The semi-wild fields and forests and small streams surrounding the house where I grew up, and the plant and animal life that inhabited them, communicated directly and wordlessly a sense of vast interconnection. I remember distinctly an early epiphany that I felt more than I could ever articulate as a little girl. All this was not created by some external God. All this is God, the mind of God. So that many years later, when I read the words of Dogen, I knew he must have felt the same thing. He wrote, "Mountains, rivers, earth, the sun, the moon, and stars are mind." He wrote, "To study the way with the body means to study the way with your own body. It is the study of the way using this lump of red flesh. The body comes forth from the study of the way. Everything that comes forth from the study of the way is the true human body. The entire world of the 10 directions is nothing but the true human body. The coming and going of birth and death is the true human body." When I was young, I felt alive and sensually connected in my body when I was outdoors in the natural world. But the older I got, the more subject I was to cultural forces that led me to believe my body was ugly, unattractive. Because I was quite bright and easily did well in school, in a family and social environment that did not value or affirm that, I became known as a brain. And that became the focus of my self-loathing as a girl, or an adolescent, I should say. My sensual aliveness was invisible to others. I wasn't really aware of this cognitive dissonance, though some small voice of protest in me insisted, "I am not just a brain, I have a body too." In hindsight, I'm grateful for my living connection to the earth for saving me from a more harmful relationship to my body. I grew up eating homemade food and vegetables from the family garden, so I'm grateful also my relationship to food is relatively undistorted. But it has been the work and practice of decades to heal and integrate that split between body and mind, and to trust others to see me as a whole being of body, heart, mind, and spirit, for lack of better words to use, for aspects that are truly not separate at all. Each of you has a story of the body, a story of the body-mind in connection to the earth and other beings. How have those stories shaped you? Often in Buddhist practice, we are asked to see our stories as partial and limiting, constructed by the causes and conditions of our karmic lives, and all that is true. But when we're told to let go of our stories, they're just stories, that's so hard to do. We are storytelling creatures. We probably have been since we first used grunts and gestures to say, "I found a tree loaded with fruit over there, and when I saw a big snake, I fell out of the tree." I like to think instead in terms of expanding our stories, allowing our small, personal, often stuck and repetitive story to expand to include all our ancient twisted karma, all our beneficial karma throughout our family, cultural, and human heritage. Allowing our story to be inclusive and boundless, dynamic, ever-changing, always in relationship with all beings, and our lives now guided and supported by Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and by our Bodhisattva vows. That's the big story, the never-ending story. Our bodies have stories to tell that are part of the big story of our lives. So let's not ignore them. Let's not cut them off. Let's listen to them and honor them. We have to be quiet to hear our body's wordless stories. They might come to us in sensations and images rather than words. This weekend, see what you can hear with the sensory capacities of your whole body. Did you know we have a brain in our bellies? It's called our enteric nervous system, and it gives us what we refer to as our gut feelings. I'm going to read you a passage from Andrea Olson's book with her description. The enteric nervous system, or the brain in the gut, is composed of a primitive nervous system called the neural net within the lining of the digestive tract. As we've seen, the enteric nervous system is part of the peripheral nervous system, which is all the neuronal tissue outside the brain and spinal cord, and of the autonomic nervous system. Yet the brain in the gut has one unique characteristic. It can function autonomously, processing sensory information and maintaining homeostasis with little or no interaction with the brain and spinal cord. Formed by over 100 million neurons, more than the spinal cord, the enteric nervous system involves two layers of tissue, the myenteric plexus and the submucosal plexus, don't worry about remembering these words, surrounding the esophagus, stomach, small intestines, and colon. Studies show that it can act independently, learn, remember, and feel. Each of us can recall situations where we followed our instincts or gut feelings. We made a phone call at the right moment, helped a friend, or met someone in an unexpected moment. Functioning below rational thought, our visceral body picks up on information that may not register in our conscious minds. So the brain in our belly, like our brain, the brain in our head, like the rest of our sympathetic nervous system that activates our fight, flight, or freeze response to threat, can sometimes save us and sometimes deceive us. When our threat response goes into overdrive based on our previous experiences, and we misread our present situation, the threat response overrides our higher functions of judgment, intention, and affiliation or caring. Here's where our practice gives us the training to take a step back and bring awareness to body, mind, and environment, to breathe, calm, and regulate our body-mind reactivity, and to respond with appropriate words and action. This doesn't mean that when a car speeds around the corner into a pedestrian crosswalk, you stand there stupidly and assess the situation. It does mean that you have the wisdom not always to trust and believe your own reactivity, especially in personal relationships. It also means that it can be risky to ignore the gut and always lead with the so-called rational mind. Our aim this weekend is to take the time to attend to and marvel at the complex systems that make up our lives, our body, mind, and environment. There's something inherently healing in attending to the wholeness of our lives. So I hope you will give yourselves this gift. Thank you for your attentive listening.